Good morning. Was that an intro? I love hearing the stirring of God's people. That's you. I don't know if you knew that. That's you. I love that. Are you ready to worship this morning? Awesome, awesome. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we welcome you into this place. Pray that you'd send your Holy Spirit. We welcome those, Father, that are viewing this service, are worshiping with us at home, those who are in this room. Father, may we encounter you. May this day please you. May our hearts please you. May our thoughts please you. May everything that happens lift high the name of Jesus. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship together.
We could join and sing. All to
Family, come on up. Come on, right here in the center. All right, Cameron and Catherine and Lauren and Olivia Reinard come this morning. Actually, they come to join the church, but a couple of other things. Catherine grew up in this church, so I don't know. You think I can count her twice? Is that legal? Wait, Bob, is that you, retired pastor? Is that legal to count her twice now? No, it's, yeah, Bob says mark her down, man. All the retired pastors, mark them down, Jim. Yeah. So, and also, besides joining the church this morning, Lauren, is anything else exciting happening this morning? She's getting baptized this morning. Woohoo! So at the end of the service, we will do Lauren's baptism, and we're excited about that. And so I ask you now, as you guys place your membership, and kind of, again, so, you know, place your membership with our church. First of all, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Amen. And will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? Amen. We welcome you. Welcome you, girls. And at the end of the service, we're going to have a special time. All right, y'all can go ahead and be seated. Make sure that family is greeted before they leave today. I want to invite Carlene and the children to come up for our children's message.
You were just up here, weren't you, Olivia? Hey, guys. Good to see everybody this morning. Are you excited to be here?
Yes.
Anybody else? Yes, yes, yes. All right. Well, I'm excited that you're here. Are you? Yeah. Have you enjoyed this week? Have you had a good week? Enjoyed the heat. How many of you have been swimming this week?
I've been to the beach.
You're going to swim? Okay. All right. So, is that right? Okay. Okay, so today, who created us and everything in this world? Miss Olivia. God did. That's right. Did God do an amazing job?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he has created some very unique things, right? Right? Like what?
Like us.
Like us. That's right. We are going to talk about us and what God created. So, okay, so this is going to be fun. So when God created us, he gave each one of us a tongue. Okay, now everybody can stick your tongue out right now. Have you ever thought that God made a tongue for us to use, and how much we use our tongue all the time? We talk, we eat. We taste, we do all, you use it all the time. It never rests, right? And God created that just for us. And we use it to do, we taste all of our food. Do y'all like food? It's for animals, and that's right. So we use our tongue, but I'm going to talk about, you know, God created the animals, and they have ways of taste, and I'm going to tell you how animals taste, okay? So a butterfly tastes with his feet. Okay. And then a fly tastes with its lips and its feet. Ew. And then a bee tastes with its mouth parts, its front legs, and his antenna. Yeah. And then an octopus. Do you know what an octopus tastes with?
It's tentacles.
Yeah. The little sucker things on their tentacles. Octopus has about 1,800 little taste buds on his tentacles. That's a lot, isn't it? Okay, here's the next one. An earthworm. Do you know how an earthworm tastes?
Yes.
How? He does taste terrible, yes. How does... okay. So, do you know how an earthworm tastes? Okay. An earthworm... Okay. Just a minute. Okay, nope. An earthworm's body is covered in taste buds. Yeah. So God has created, that's right, God has created everything so unique and amazing. And he has given us our tongues so that we can taste. So on our tongue, we have anywhere between 3,000 and 10,000, just a minute, okay, Drew, between 3,000 and 10,000 taste buds on your tongue. Is that a lot?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we taste five things. We taste five things. Everything falls into five things. It's either sweet, sour, salty, bitter, or savory, which means delicious. Okay. All right. So, and pepper, it kind of probably falls in that, like maybe bitter and salty. And then our sense of taste also helps us avoid things that are not good for us. Like poison. How about anything that's rotten? Yeah, right? So, did God do an amazing thing when he made our tongue? Yes, he does. The rotten apple, that's right. So, God has given us our taste so that we can experience foods that are delicious. Just a minute, Drew, okay? Okay? So, you know, God created our world and all the uniqueness in our world. And those are blessings from God. And that's God's goodness. And God wants us to enjoy everything around us. Do we enjoy everything around us?
Yes.
Just like the delicious food. Do y'all enjoy food?
Yes.
You know, but God also gave us eyes, right? Did he give us a nose?
Yes.
Did he give us ears?
Yes.
And then he gave us hands, right? But he also gave us feet, and he gave us legs, and he gave us arms. But he gave all of that so that we can experience God's creation through smell, taste, hearing, seeing, and touching God's world. Can we go out today and touch the grass? Can we go out and maybe taste an apple today? Could we go out and taste some a fresh peach or something? Or how about some ice cream? Wouldn't that be delicious? Yes. So God has a plan for us. God designed us so amazing. So all this week, I want you to look around at all the many wonderful things that God has created and just think about him and how big he is and how wonderful his creation is. And maybe so as you taste your favorite candy or your special treat this week or something special, remember to praise God for your tongue. Do we ever praise God for your tongue? You? Okay. So I want you to praise God for your tongue. So say, praise God for my tongue. Thank you, God. So praise God for my tongue. Y'all say that with me. Praise God for my tongue. All right. And it says in Psalms 34:8, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. All right. Let's say a prayer. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you that you have created us, and I thank you that you've given us a tongue that we can taste, and eyes to see, and a nose to smell, and ears to hear, and hands to touch, because your creation is amazing, Lord. And I thank you for these boys and girls, and I thank you that as we go out this week, that we can just see your goodness and your love for us, and we just praise you and give you all the praise and honor today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go. Yes, Mr. Dre.
So parents, what did you do to your children this past weekend? Lively bunch. Well, welcome this morning. For those of you worshiping online, welcome as well. If you want to register your attendance with us at some point, that would be helpful. Wanted to remind everybody that the Wednesday night ministry start back this Wednesday night. I think most community groups are meeting. If you're not sure if yours is meeting or not, just reach out to your leader if you haven't heard from them yet. Meal at five groups and youth and children's, basically child care, starts at 6. Next Monday at 6 p.m., I guess in the sanctuary, Jeff, is that where we're going to meet? We're having a second service meeting for those who want to serve. So if you have a desire to serve in any area of ministry, and we're going to almost have to double up on our servants. So that will be at 6 p.m. next Monday night. course, VBS sign-up continues. I think we're up to 130 kids. And so looking forward to that. And then Promise Keepers, the middle of June, we got 7 spots left. And so, men, I ask you to pray about participating in that. You know, there's been several times in my life that Carney has looked at me and said, Billy, you need to go away and spend time with Jesus. And she has literally said that to me. And I knew things were out of sorts. And so I pursued the Lord in that manner. Wives, I know 2 wives have signed up their husbands. God bless you for that, your courage for doing that. It may be time for your husband to spend time with Jesus. So sign him up if you want to. So 7 spots left there. It'll be really a good time in the Lord. So I believe that's it. Let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The 3rd day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, in the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Remind you that word Catholic means universal. The youth are going to San Antonio this week to serve on a mission trip, and we would like to pray over them before they do that. So, Brent, you and the sponsors and any youth that might be going, you mind coming up front, and we want to lay hands on you guys and pray for y'all. Yeah, this is kingdom work that's going to take place this week, so y'all can kind of huddle up if you want to. You don't have to get in a straight line, even though you're going to do that. But anyway. So, Brent, what all are y'all going to do this week? Reader's Digest version.
Serve with United Way, serve with Children's Hunger Fund, serve with San Antonio Food Bank.
Okay, United Way, Children's Hunger Fund, San Antonio Food Bank. So we want to pray for y'all's efforts this week. If y'all want to come up here and lay hands on our youth as we do that, I think this is a safe environment. Yeah, I mean, I tried to get him to do that, Jeff, but you know, didn't work out. You know, youth and sponsors, I just want to encourage you, don't miss the Lord this week. Look for him in the little things. I really think he wants to reveal himself to you this week in powerful ways. So, Father, we lift this group of sponsors and this group of young men and women up to you, Father. They're going to go serve you. But, Lord, I just pray that they encounter you deeply through their service. Lord, I pray for safety as they travel. Lord God, I just pray for supernatural God moments on the road. Maybe they meet somebody at a stop, and maybe somebody needs to be encouraged. God, just heighten your awareness, Holy Spirit. Heighten your awareness in their hearts. Give them eyes to see what you're doing this week, even as they're in their van, even as they're stopping. Father, I pray for strength for them, Lord. I know it's going to be a hard week. I pray for supernatural rest for them, because I know they're not going to really get it in the physical. But I just pray for replenishment, restoration to bodies when they're tired, when they don't feel like they can go on any further. I pray, God, that you just move in power and just strengthen them. And, Lord, I pray for those people that are there that don't even know they're going to be impacted by this group of people. Lord, I just pray that you make a way. You go before them. Prepare hearts for service that they're going to receive. Prepare hearts for ministry they might receive from these young people and sponsors. And again, Lord, I just pray for an encounter with you this week, and help them not to miss what you're doing. Lord, I just thank you for young people that they love Jesus. And God, I pray for all of their futures, Lord. God, that they cling tightly to you. Lord, you have a purpose. You have a destiny for everyone in this circle. And Lord, I pray that they realize that. If they haven't already, they realize that. And so, God, they can walk that out. So, Lord, just be kind and good and make provision for this group. And we thank you for opportunities to serve. Jesus, you hung on a cross so we could serve you. Jesus, you were the perfect example. You came to serve and not be served. Great example for all of us to follow. I pray that this group of people just walk that out this week in incredible boldness with incredible favor and bless them mightily. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness, the kindness that leads us to the Father. And we pray the prayer of Jesus you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. God bless you, group. As we continue to worship, we will take our offering at this time. If you want to bring one forward, or you can give electronically at some point. And God bless you, church. Thank you again for your faithfulness.
Child of God, I'm I'm no longer.
Are you aware that, as we just sang, that you're a child of God? That's pretty incredible, right, when we think about that? That the Creator of all things, as Carlene was talking to the children about this morning, has adopted us as His very own. That's pretty staggering to me. I hope you received that this morning. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place, and hope you feel the Holy Spirit, and I hope you feel the love of Christ's people in this place. There is a little card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe that says guests. Would love to for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would love to know that you were here. There's also prayer request forms there, and if you're ready to make some sort of a decision with our church, there's another card with a black stripe that says Get Connected that you can kind of follow and fill that out. And at the end of the service, I will be out here in the foyer and would love to meet you if you are our guest and have a free gift for you as well. How many of you have our app? How many of you use our app? How many of you know that there's a directory of our church on the app? Kim, you inspired me this morning. Kim was asking me about some different folks, and I was like, well, it's right here in the directory. Just go to the directory. How many of you are on our email list? How many of you never want an email from me ever again? Nick? All right. That's the way we kind of communicate, so I hope that you are on our email list, have our app. We try not to bug you, but try to let you know what's going on. If you will turn with me to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. For some of the slower ones in the group, that's right before 2 Peter. First Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 14. Now, remember, this is the same Peter. I love how things changed for Peter. This is the same one that said, I don't know the man, three times. And yet, he ended up being one of the pivotal leaders in the early church. First Peter chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, there it is, child of God, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Man, I could preach right there. Just stop. Something when we become Christians, something should change in us. Yes, it just seems pretty normal, pretty straightforward to me. Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. That's important, then, in all you do. That's an important phrase for us to hear this morning. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. And Peter is quoting out of the book of Leviticus with that statement. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we cry out to you. We ask you that you would send your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm concluding the series today, Navigating Hard Times. I'll get more to that in a minute, Lee. So the times that we're living in, to me, they're unprecedented. Now, some of y'all that maybe are older than me, maybe you have some times I didn't go through the Great Depression and things like that, but it just seems like our culture, we are a confused culture. Good grief, you know, when we can't even identify boys and girls. I mean, we're confused. And these are difficult times, hard times that they are walking through right now. But as I've said through this series, I believe with all my heart, this is our time to shine, church. People should see something different in us that draws them to us so that we can point them to Jesus. That's what needs to be happening. And I tell you, I've told you that I have around October or so, I've stopped consuming so much of the news. And when I say that, I want you to know I keep up, but I don't just like turn on a news channel and just listen to the same old rigmarole over. Is that don't you like that rigmarole? I don't know that I've ever said that. It's a word. It's a phrase, isn't it? It's not the same old thing. I'm just driving it into us over and over, just negative stuff all the time. That's what I have stopped. But I keep up with what's going on in the world, and I subscribe to a lot of Christian news emails and newsletters, and try to keep up with things that are going on. And one of the trends that I'm seeing is high profiled Christian leaders falling. And in some cases, rejecting the faith altogether. Anybody else seeing that? It's happening over and over. I ran across this, and I'm just going to read it because I think it's that good. And these are just excerpts from this is the lead singer. Some of you older folks are going to go, "Who's that?" But I barely know. Lead singer of Skillet, which is a Christian rock band. But I read this here. It's a blog that he puts out, and I stumbled onto it. And man, these are just some excerpts. If you want to read the whole thing, I'll give you the link because he nails it. But I just want to read a few things here. He says this, and this, by the way, remember, this is a lead singer of a Christian rock band. Okay, so he's kind of in this category he's talking about, and he points that out. We must stop making worship leaders and thought leaders or influencers or cool people or relevant people the most influential people in Christendom. I've said it all the time. You know, people think, well, golly, this church, this pastor in this church, they must really be, you know, God must really be blessing them because they got 20,000 people that come on Sunday morning and they got cool glasses and everything. And I say, you know, there's a lot of things that draw crowds that aren't of God. We are in danger, back to his quote, we are in danger, we are in a dangerous place when the church is looking, if you're young, don't be offended, in a dangerous place when the church is looking to a 20-year-old worship singer as our source of truth. Hello, this is on? I'm stunned, he says, that seemingly the most important thing for these leaders who have lost their faith is to make such a bold new stance, basically saying, I've been living and preaching boldly for something for 20 years and led generations of people with my teachings, and now I no longer believe it. Therefore, I'm going to boldly and loudly tell people it was all wrong while I boldly and loudly lead people in my next truth. I'm perplexed why they aren't embarrassed, humbled, ashamed, fearful, confused. Why be so eager to continue leading people when you clearly don't know where you are headed? As these influencers disavow their faith, they always end their statements with their new insight, new truth. That is basically a regurgitation of Jesus' words. They'll say something like, I'm disavowing my faith, but remember, love people, be generous, forgive others. Why? That is actually not human nature. No child is ever born and says, I want to love others before loving myself. Don't you love that? I want to turn the other cheek. No child says it. I want to give my money away to others in need. Those are biblical principles taught by the King of Kings, who wants us to live by a higher standard, which is not an earthly standard, but rather the kingdom of God standard. He goes on. I'm going to stop. Church, and this kind of gets a little bit slightly off topic, but this is the truth of God. And I've said it before, I'll say it again this morning. If you ever hear anything coming out of this pulpit that doesn't come from this right here, doesn't jive with this, you have my challenge to challenge me. You have my permission to challenge me. there, when we start, as he's saying, when we start, and it's not just young people, I mean, when we start putting people on the throne that Jesus needs to be on, we're in trouble. We're in a dangerous place. Navigating hard times. Okay, Lee. In today's message is live with integrity. And I talked about truth a couple of weeks ago. We need to be a people of integrity. It's not about pleasing people, but here's the statement. The world is watching. And it's not about pleasing people, it's about our words matching up with our life. If we, I've said I'm going to preach on this someday, but kind of steps on my own toes with this, but someday I'm going to have a sermon and it's going to be driving 71 in a 70. Oh, come on, you know you do it. I mean, I generally, and I'm, Lord, I'm confessing now. Generally, if the speed limit's 70, I usually just barely crack it over 70. I mean, just, I don't quite maybe even get to 71, but just barely crack it over 70. And I'm like, oh, man, that might save me 30 seconds to where I'm going. Do we do that as Christians? I'm not talking about driving anymore. A little lie is a lie. Holding back a little truth is a lie. I mean, the world is watching. When Christians stumble, the damage to the gospel is immense. And so I hope that you feel pressure. I hope that you feel pressure. And it's not about, hey, I've got to be good to earn God's favor so that I'll go to heaven. That's not it. No. But this passage we looked at today, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy. Not just holy, not just, you know, having this aura about ourselves, but and holy in all you do. Walk with integrity because the world's watching. And I've talked about Robbie Zacharias, and since the last time I talked about it, I had a conversation with someone that reminded me that if you missed that dialogue, that when I talked about that, Robbie Zacharias was a someone that was very powerful in communicating the gospel, and he died a few months ago. And since then, there have been all sorts of allegations of sexual misconduct for many years with him. And one thing that, I thought the world of Robbie Zacharias. He didn't die for me, but I thought the world of him and his teachings, and I thought he was very, very gifted. And Cheryl and I were grieved beyond belief when we started reading this stuff about him. But one thing I've been reminded of, when someone has died and they don't even have a chance to defend themselves, you need to be cautious. So there's that. But nonetheless, as I see Christian leaders, people in high-profile positions, and they fall, and Hillsong is another one. Hillsong is a ministry out of Australia, I believe, and they have very effective worship songs that they've been producing for many years. Most churches sing many of their songs, and they're in the last few months. There have been all sorts of people in leadership that have fallen. There's been sexual misconduct. There's been financial misconduct. There's been allegations of how they treat their servants poorly, and to the point of even like somebody on staff, they have to get permission from the leadership if they want to date someone. I mean, just all sorts of things have come out against Hillsong, It doesn't mean that the songs that they have written and produced that we may sing that are, I believe, to be anointed by God, doesn't mean that you have to set all that stuff aside. But, man, when we begin to think that, man, unless you wear the cool glasses and you're this kind of pastor and this and so forth, and where you draw in the celebrities and all that, if we start putting our faith in those sort of situations, we're in trouble, church. We're in trouble. The world is watching. So first thing I want us to talk about this morning, God's people are called to holiness. It's a call on our lives. It's something changes when we receive the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. He forgives us our sins, and he washes us with white as snow. Something should change in the passage we just read today. Just as he who called you is holy, be holy in all you do. And as the first passage, the first verse that we read today, as obedient children, that's us, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Now, I want to say this again. Temptation, struggling with something, is not sin. But when we camp out there and when we give those temptations legs, it turns into sin. So if you struggle with something, I just encourage you to fight the good fight just against that. But he's saying, the word is saying that don't conform to the evil desires. There's the temptation. Don't conform to those like you did before Christ. You know, I don't know about you, but I've been in this place. It's like, man, before you really walking with the Lord, it's like, if you feel like doing something, just do it. If you think you can get away with it, just do it. Sin always catches up with us. Sin always catches up with us and is never good. It's never good. Ephesians 1:4, God chose us, you and I, in Christ, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. So we are a called people, and we're called into holiness. That's the pursuit. Now, it's a process. Holiness in our flesh. I've used this example before, that when we accept Christ, God can't have a relationship with us if we have sin. And so the question I get sometimes is, well, if I'm a Christian, I've accepted Christ, I've been baptized, all those things, but I still struggle. I still have some struggles in my life. And I look at it that if you split us down the middle and you have our spiritual side and our flesh, and in the spiritual sense, when we accept Christ, we are washed as white as snow. We are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So when God looks at us, he sees us clothed in the righteousness of Christ in the spiritual realm. And that's when he has relationship with us. Then the flesh is trying to catch up. Is that making sense? It's this process. It's called sanctification. It's where God is purifying us through his Holy Spirit. So it's a process of pressing into him, allowing him to press into us, reading his word, having a relationship with him, relationship with other believers, and our flesh is being purified and sanctified, and it's catching up with our spirit. Shake your head if you're still awake and you're listening, if you're understanding that. You know, I have heard the word Christian. I've heard, and I think C.S. Lewis may have put this in some of his writings, defining that as the word Christian as little Christ, that we are little Christ. To a certain extent, I get it, and I'm there. But in a full theological unpack of that, I don't think we will ever be Christ in any way. But I understand that he's saying we are Christ's representatives. But the real, if you look at the word Christian and you really unpack it, what it really means is slaves of Christ. Hello, is this on? Being a slave, not just his representative, but being a slave to Christ. So a slave means that whatever the master says, we do that. And if Jesus is our master and we are his slave, then we seek to live for him. We seek to please him. We are a people called to holiness. And then secondly, and I've talked about this some already, but our life should demonstrate that. There's a passage in Matthew, I think it's there in your notes, says, and these are the words of Christ, Do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you made to the Lord. Simply let your yes be yes or your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. I told this story several years ago, but what is the least favorite topic that I like to preach on? Come on. I don't like to preach about money. I don't want people thinking, oh, there's another preacher just wants our money. But I have learned that Jesus talked about money all the time. Why? Because if we could get it, if we didn't hurt ourselves, we could get this and we could just nail it right there because it's attached to our heart. That's what Jesus knew, that if I don't have this, I don't have this. But I don't like preaching about it. And that goes even way back before I was a preacher. I don't like talking about it. Well, before I was a pastor, I was asked by the nominations committee in another church to head up what committee? Which is, in the Methodist church, we call that the stewardship committee. They asked me to head up the stewardship committee, where you go around and encourage people to give their money. And I wasn't a pastor, and you need me to be the stewardship chairman? I'll do that. Guess what? I didn't do a nickel's worth of work the whole year. I didn't do anything because I didn't want to talk to people about their money. I promise you, that's not in my wheelhouse. It's not my giftedness. I should have said, no, you probably need somebody else for that committee. That's what I should have said. It's right there. Jesus said it. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Sometimes no is an acceptable answer. So if you're asked to do something, you know, that's not my thing. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say no that I've got too much going on or it's not my thing or whatever. And God is, I intended to do it. I mean, my heart was right. I wanted to do it, but I just couldn't bring myself to ask people about giving their money. God's not interested in our good intentions. Hello. God's not interested in our good intentions. He wants our lives to demonstrate our faith. So we are called to be holy. We are called to live a life of integrity. So I guess I would just ask you, and I think about the realm that we find ourselves in as family members or as bosses, employees, whatever. Does your yes mean yes and your no mean no? I mean, if you're an employee, when the boss says you need to do something, and yes, sir, yes, ma'am, I'll do that, I'll take care of it, do you do it? I mean, this is probably a dangerous thing to say to the church, but there's people that come to my mind, and I don't think any of you are sitting here. I'll have to look around the room a little better. But there's people that come to my mind, and I'm thinking, I'm not going to ask them to do anything because there's nothing's going to happen. They'll say they'll do it, and they won't do it. And it's not. And I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about in life, just people you know. It's like, man, old so-and-so, he's just not very reliable. Well, if we're a believer, we need to be reliable. We need to walk with integrity. We need our life to demonstrate that. Does our yes mean maybe or probably or sometimes or if it's convenient or if I feel like it or if I don't have to ask anybody about money? I mean, what does our yes mean? Our lives should demonstrate it. People, as we navigate these difficult times that we're in, people should look at us and go, man, I don't know what it is. Maybe he'll tell me. I don't know what it is, but that person, they're just different. Something's different about them. And thirdly, in all of this, in everything that we do, Jesus is our perfect example. Jesus doesn't break promises. Did you know that? Jesus walked out his integrity. He doesn't break promises. Jesus is our perfect example. And I'm not going to read all the scriptures that you know these, but just some of the big things that Jesus promised that he did. He promised he would die for us. He'd die for his bride. He promised that he would rise again. And I'm pretty sure he did that. He promised to send the Holy Spirit. He's here with us this morning, so I think he sent him. And here's the one that we're still waiting on. He promised to come again. I will read that. Jesus said, "At that time they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory." Man, if there wasn't so many people that still needed Jesus, I'm ready for that this afternoon, right before nap time. I'm ready. Anybody else ready? I mean, so, I'm ready to, did you know, this is kind of weird as this thought came to my mind. Did you know that when they bury people in the cemetery, did you know that the feet are all of the casket is always facing east? Did you know that? Why, I wonder in the world, why would, I'm not making this up. So that when Jesus comes back and they sit up in the casket, they'll see him. They'll be looking to the east. Isn't that interesting? I find that interesting. He promised to come again. And Jesus always keeps his promises. He's holy. He's called us to be holy. And he's called us to live a life of integrity. A couple of passages as I close here. 2 Corinthians 5. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. God gave us the ministry of reconciliation." See, we've got an assignment. "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." That's the plan God has. He put it in our responsibility as his ambassadors to convey the good news. 1 Peter chapter 2, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." Now here it is. Why? "So that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." So we are a called people. We are a holy people. We are new creations. We're Christ's ambassadors so that people can look at us and see Jesus. And we can point them to Jesus. That's the call for us as we navigate through these times. I don't know about you, but man, that's why I've stopped watching all the news cycles. Because man, it has been poison to my soul. I don't want my soul to be poisoned. And so I'm not telling you have to run out and stop watching the news. I'm just saying be careful what you are consuming. Because it does have an impact on us. We are called to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. So how are we doing, church? How are we doing with that? Are we representing Christ well? Are we living a life of integrity and pursuing holiness? Well, that's the call on our life. Let's pray. Father, I'm reminded that we're still flesh and blood. We're still a work in progress. Father, I just pray that we would press into you as you press into us, that you would mold us. You would make us a people that indeed brings glory to you and that conveys hope to a lost and hurting world. Talked with someone, Lord, just yesterday that has no hope. No hope. You are our hope. You are holy. And as your chosen people, you've called us to be holy. Show us how. Holy Spirit, come and root out in us the stuff that's holding us back. Root it out. Purify us. May we be a shining light on a hill. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close, don't forget that we'll have Lauren's baptism in just a moment. I hope you'll stay for that and greet the Reinards before you leave today as well. If you don't know that Jesus, if you came in this morning and you don't know that Jesus, or you don't have that hope that we're talking about, please don't leave before you talk to me. Because Jesus loves you. Whether you know him, whether you love him, he loves you and he knows you. Let's rise if you are able as we close.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
You may be seated, and I'm going to invite Lauren's family to come up. Just two of them. We got some more coming here. Olivia, you want to come up here with sister? No. Boy, that was spoken like a sister right there, wasn't it? Yeah, come on up.
Come right here.
Y'all can see on the monitors what's going on. Come on, y'all come on up, family. All right, Miss Lauren, I'm going to have you come and stand on that platform right over there. What's your step? One more time over. All right, so everybody can see you. Okay. So, Lauren, we've already had this talk, and we're excited about this day. Did you know that Jesus is excited about this day as well?
Amen.
So we've talked about that word sin, and that we're all sinners, and we fall short of the glory of God. So do you admit to God that you are a sinner?
Yes.
And do you want to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin and come and live in your heart?
Yes.
Amen. You want to be baptized in that faith? Amen. If you will step down and sit, and Mom and Dad are going to help me. We're going to do this. If you'll hold your nose. Lauren, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just stay right there. Woo-hoo-hoo! Y'all come in. We're going to put a hand on her if you can reach her, or if you can't reach her, reach somebody in front of you. And one of the things, Lauren, that we talked about was that God will send His Holy Spirit to live inside of you, and so we're going to pray for that, okay? Lord, thank you, Jesus, that when you were on the cross, you had Lauren on your mind because of your great love for her. And God, she loves you back. I can see it in her eyes that she loves you. Father, she just professed you as Lord and Savior, and so I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit as you have promised, and we've just talked about you are good for your promises. Send your Holy Spirit. Fill her. Father, may this be a brand new day. May she be a brand new creation. I pray, God, that as she grows up, that you will use her mightily to bring glory to you. Bless this family, and we thank you again for Jesus. In his name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can dry off. Church, if you arise, if you're able to receive this benediction, you are called by a holy God to be holy. Be in pursuit of that. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you.
All my life you have been faithful.
Message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to, first of all, congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.